The following is a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.
Well, hi there, everybody. I'm Sean Wood, and welcome to This Week in Modified Country. On today's broadcast, we'll chat with Peter Britton, the current three-time and defending Australian V8 Dirt Modified Champion. That's coming up next on This Week in Modified Country for Thursday, April the 28th. Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Penske Racing Shocks, the competitive advantage of champions, by Kinzer Air Filters, proudly made in the USA, and by the New Hampshire Motor Speedway. The IndyCar Series returns to the Magic Mile August the 14th. With 30 years' experience, Kinzer Air Filters is a trusted name in the racing industry. Their 360-degree dome positive charge air filter is the cleanest air filter on the market. From sprint cars and midgets to late models, drivers rely on Kinzer Air Filters as a brand they can trust while being economically affordable. It's easy to use and cleans with soap and water. To learn more, call Roger Kinzer at 812-327-7103. That's 812-327-7103, or visit kinzerdirect.com. Kinzer Air Filters, made in the USA. Welcome back, race fans, to This Week in Modified Country. We head up to Rochester, New York. We check in with three-time and current Australian V8 Dirt Modified Champion. That's three consecutive titles he has. Peter Britton joining us here from Troyer Incorporated. Peter, welcome to This Week in Modified Country.
Thanks, Sean. It's good to be here.
Good to catch up with you. Congratulations on a third consecutive V8 Dirt Modified title in Australia. Tell the fans a little bit about yourself, how you came to be in modified racing, and how the modified title in Australia is a little different than what we're accustomed to here in the States for championships.
Yeah, well, I guess the Australian dirt modified title, it's not, I guess you don't get Australia one by running a full series like a super dirt series or, you know, similar as you guys do over here. It's more of a, well, the way we do our, you know, Australia one is, you know, we have one big race. It's a two-night race. You know, the first night you do some qualifying heat races, and the second night, you know, another couple of heat races, and then you got the big feature on the Saturday night. Normally, it's the second night, and whoever wins that, you know, you're the best of the best, basically. I mean, it's the one meeting where anybody is anybody in modified racing, you know, comes out to give the Australian title a crack, and it's a real big weekend, and it's a lot of fun to be a part of. And for myself to win that 3 years in a row now, it's you know, it's a pretty unbelievable feeling. It's as you can tell, I mean, I still can't really put the words together. I mean, sort of the guys I looked up to, you know, when I was a bit younger, when I was first starting off in Speedway, you know, I looked up to these guys that have won this modified title. And And now I guess I'm one of those guys, so it's a pretty overwhelming feeling. But I guess how I got started in racing was my old man, Paul. He was just always a big fan of speedway racing, you know, himself growing up. When he was my age, he'd always go to the speedway and sit on the hill and watch the races. And I guess always sort of wanted to be a part of it. We don't so much come from a, you know, a racing background as a family. You know, I guess our racing started with me when I was 15. We just thought we'd give it a bit of a go in like a streak stock type of class, and we had fun with that and had a bit of success. And I guess slowly through the years we kept moving up and up the ranks, and been running modifieds in Australia now for 4 years, and you know, obviously doing pretty well at that. So, you know, the next natural progression was to come over here and run the big block modifieds with the big dogs over here, and, you know, see really what I'm made of and try and make something of myself, I guess.
Well, that's pretty impressive. Three consecutive titles in 4 years of running in the VA Dirt Modifieds. Tell us a little bit about the tracks in Australia. How much do they differ from the tracks here that you have seen so far?
Yeah, well, our tracks are typically a lot smaller than what is over here, especially around where I am. I'm from Brisbane in Queensland, which is sort of to the northeast of the country. And, you know, all the tracks around there are a little quarter mile bull ring. So it's definitely a different style of racing. We also run the big sprint car rubber on the for the rear tyres on our cars. So that, you know, obviously changes things up a bit as well. But apart from that, our cars are pretty identical. And as you sort of over in the Western Australia, there's a little, you know, the tracks are generally a bit bigger. You know, you're looking at 3 8-mile tracks. Generally, our tracks are pretty hooked up compared to your tracks over here. I mean, just about every track we go to around here, you know, the track sort of starts, you know, by the, you know, come feature time, it's pretty slick. Whereas back home, I guess majority of our races, we're, you know, hammer down, you know, tracks. I mean, we do get slick tracks, but, you know, generally there's a bit of moisture left there in the feature. So it's definitely a different world, but I'm glad I'm a part of it, and I'll keep learning and keep trying.
And race night, how different is race night for a V8 Dirt Modified event compared to what you've experienced so far here in the States?
Well, our, I guess, like a weekly meeting, you call it, I guess. We generally have two heats. The first heat will be just a draw for positions, and then the second heat will be just a complete reverse grid of the first heat, and you tally up your points after the two heat races. And some tracks will do a top six dash, so obviously the top six point scorers, they'll do the top six dash, and that'll determine the starting position for the feature. Otherwise, depending on what track you go to and what series the race is a part of, some of the starts will just be a heads-up start. Some of them will pull an inversion pill as well, like a 2, 4, 6, 8. Normally the high points guy will draw that pill. That's our features are generally, say, 25 to 30 lap features, so only short races, but definitely a lot of action packed into those races.
And what tracks have you raced at over here so far, Peter?
I've actually been to a few tracks now. I've raced at Brildon a few times. Last year, I ran the full year at Weedsport, which was, that was a really good experience running there, considering how slick that track is majority of the time. I had a run at Canandaigua last year. I've also just had a couple of runs. Well, I had one run at Can-Am, one run at Fulton, and I've also had a couple of runs at Rolling Wheels. So I've been around to a couple of tracks. Still plenty more to explore, obviously, and hopefully we'll get to that this year.
And as you were growing up and watching the Dirt Modifieds, and you have seen the evolution, and now yourself being a driver, how much has the sport changed with the influx of the different chassis from the States and in Canada that are now being implemented on a somewhat regular basis by the majority of the Dirt Modified racers in Australia?
Yeah, it's definitely a changing world back home. When I won my first Australian title back in 2008, that was actually the first ever Australian title win for an American manufacturer. So I guess the whole American deal, I mean, it's been happening for a little while now. I think the first Bicknell was bought over in around early 2000s, and that was the first one of the, you know, the American, you know, Canada style cars that came over. A couple of guys got a few cars from then, but it really didn't start to pick up until around that time, you know, 2007, 2008. A couple of the better guys started getting the cars over, and we started my family started a Troyer dealership, and so that's I guess how the relationship came about with Billy Colton, and we've been going really well ever since. I mean, Bill's a great help. He's very knowledgeable, obviously, and we've now taken 25 Troyers back to Australia. So I mean, there's definitely, you know, the numbers of the American cars are starting to outweigh the numbers of the Australian cars now. And there's, you know, obviously there's a couple of TOs and Bicknells over there as well. But I guess at the moment, Troyer brand seems to be pretty popular. And, you know, I guess for our sake, hopefully it'll stay that way.
We're talking with Peter Britton, the three-time and currently three-time and defending Australian V8 Dirt Modified Series champion. And Peter working up at Troyer. And you're also working with a gentleman that I do know, Rich Scagliata, out of Bound Brook, New Jersey, helping him out. So how are you able to work with Rich and also devote time to your race car and go racing?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously time's a bit of a hazard sometimes. You know, there's never enough hours in the day, as you know, pretty much everyone can relate to these days.
Yeah, but, that's true.
I mean, Rich loves his racing, and he's helped me out a fair bit, and I really appreciate, you know, everything he's done for me. And, you know, I sort of worked spent a lot of time with Rich last year. I think he was over here for basically the whole season, and, learned a lot with him. And this year we decided to sort of join our two teams together. We're racing out the same hauler this year. So, you know, that obviously makes things a lot easier. And, you know, not at the racetrack. I mean, we're talking to each other all night. It's not like, you know, I stay with my car and he stays with his car. I mean, we'll help each other out wherever we can. And, I can't really speak highly enough about the bloke. I mean, Rich is just such a great guy, and, you know, I'm really glad that, you know, I'm sort of involved with him.
And as you continue to see the influx of American race cars heading over to Australia to run in the V8 Dirt Modified Series, how much longer do you think it's going to be before, you say, they hit about a 90% mark, where that's going to be the car that everybody's going to be running, an American chassis? And part two of that question is, how much longer will it be before we see more Australian drivers coming over during your winter time and racing with us here during the season?
Yeah, well, I think it's just going to be a slow progression over the next few years with the drivers coming over to race. Over the last year, I think there was about four drivers that come over and had a couple of races, you know, at stages throughout the year. I can only see that, you know, going up as guys are, you know, looking to get the latest information for their cars and, you know, just to come over and see some of the racing over here. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. So, I mean, while you're over here, if you can squeeze in a couple of races, then it's definitely worthwhile to do. And that's sort of what a lot of the guys are trying to do. So I guess, you know, in the next 5 years, you know, regularly you'll probably see, probably around five guys coming over here a year, I guess, and, you know, maybe doing the odd race here or there. I can't say there'll be too many guys coming over here and, you know, having a full season at it, but there's definitely a lot of interest in the scene over here, and guys will be coming over pretty regularly, I think. And as for, you know, the percentage rates back home, I think everyone's come across to the knowledge now that these style of cars are the way to go. With our rules, a lot of people were sort of scared of them to start off with because our weight rules are pretty light, and it's damn near impossible to get these cars on weight unless you go out and just, you know, spend a lot of money on, you know, the lightest of stuff, and then the cars will, you know, break a lot easier as well. So we sort of opted for the option of, you know, we'll keep the cars a little bit heavier and, you know, just make sure they're working properly, which they are. And that sort of outweighs the benefits of being light if the car's working a lot better. So now that guys have come across to that knowledge, there's not really many more of the Australian style cars being built anymore. So I'd say within the next 5 years, I mean, there's guys bringing over second-hand cars as well. You know, not everyone's bringing over a new car. So, you know, that market's starting to improve now, which allows guys to, you know, sell off their cars and purchase new ones. So I'd say within the next 5 years that, yeah, you know, 90% of the cars will definitely be the American-style cars.
What is the weight limit for the cars currently? And talk a little bit about what you guys now have in terms of, you said the car is a little bit heavier, and also what's your engine rules over in Australia?
Yeah, well, our weight rules is 2150, which is, you know, that's a fair bit lighter than what the cars run at over here. And also, well, we run small blocks, not big blocks, but our small blocks have to be a cast iron block and cast iron head. So, I mean, it's, you know, say a small block, but it's still a fairly heavy small block. And our engine rules are, I mean, there's only really a few rules, just 361 cubic inches the maximum. You got to run maximum 11.5 to 1 compression ratio. You're only allowed to run methanol fuel. Standard valve angles on the heads. So I mean, there's a few rules there that sort of keep things, you know, from getting too crazy. And you know, a good motor's putting out, you know, 600, 650 horsepower, depending on whose dyno you want to listen to. So it's a pretty good, you know, motor package, I think. You know, it's the cars definitely get up and get going. So I guess the problems with getting the weight down, you just can't get the weight down that much unless you build everything on the car that's, you know, to the point where it's going to break every time it gets touched. So I mean, I can see in the long term the weight rule being lifted a little bit, but just because of, you know, how the rule's always been, and, you know, we don't want to disadvantage any of the Australian cars that are still running at the moment, it's probably going to take a couple of years for that rule to change. But I can definitely see it happening, because it's just, I mean, there's no point, you know, going out and trying to spend all that money to get the cars on weight. So, you know, I think just about everybody that's running this style of car, you know, just runs the car heavy. But, yeah, it's just what you got to do, I guess.
And you mentioned before, Peter, when we were talking about the drivers coming over during your off season, during our season, anybody that you might be able to talk about that you may know of that is coming over at some point that may be hopping in the car at some point during this upcoming racing season here in the States?
Well, there's a few guys talking about coming over. No one has, you know, seriously confirmed that they are coming over to do some racing. But a new customer of ours, Darren Latimer, he's talking about coming over at some stage. You know, he's been running dirt modifieds for, you know, a lot longer than what I have anyway. And he's pretty interested to come over to the Troy factory and, you know, sort of see how things work over here and see how we do it. And you know, while he's over here, you know, if he can get a couple of runs in, then that'd be good for him. So. Apart from that, I mean, there's no one sort of talking about coming over here and racing at the moment. There's guys, you know, just a couple of the other guys talking about coming over and seeing the scene, you know, guys that haven't been to, you know, Central New York before to see, you know, all the big racing and, you know, all over, you know. It's, there's, you know, a guy by the name of Mick Sauer is coming over pretty soon. Yeah, there's a few guys, so we'll just have to wait and see who's serious and who's not, I guess.
Peter, what are your goals in achieving racing here in the States? And are there tracks that you have been to but haven't raced on yet that you'd like to race on before you head back to Australia later this year?
I guess my goals this year is to, you know, just extend on last year's learning experience. You know, I'm starting to feel pretty comfortable in these cars now, and, you know, I'm not as quick as, you know, the Jimmy Feltzes and Matt Shepherds of the world, but, you know, I'm starting to be able to, you know, get close to being able to mix it up with them. So I want to, you know, obviously get to the stage this year where I'm mixing it up with them on a regular basis. I guess the goal this year is to get a win, and I believe that's attainable. So, you know, I had a couple of good runs toward the end of last year, which has given me a lot of confidence that it can happen. So I just, you know, it's all about me putting the effort in and making it happen, I guess. Well, definitely Syracuse. I mean, that's, you know, that place is just unreal and nothing like I've ever seen in my life. So I'm really looking forward to, you know, hopefully having the chance to run there this year. I'm also looking forward to the Dirt Series races up in Canada, like at the smaller tracks like Cornwall and Merrittville and those sort of places where, you know, that's more what I'm used to running on back home. So it'd be good to see how I compare against those guys that are, you know, running on those tracks in the big block modifieds over here. And, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see how well I go. I think I'll do pretty good because, as I said before, I mean, that's what I'm used to running on.
Well, I think you will be doing pretty good when you win the Australian title 3 years in a row after only being your four years now into your modified career. Peter Britton, again, congratulations on that accomplishment, and all the best of luck to you and the Rich Scagliata crew for the upcoming 2011 season.
Yep, right. Thanks, Sean, and thanks for your time.
Sure, and hopefully we'll get some sunshine out there so you guys go racing, because it has not been a fun spring.
No, it hasn't been a fun spring at all. So especially, you know, I'm used to the warm weather, and spring back home means, you know, warm weather, which I guess it doesn't mean that quite so much over here. As you said, hopefully we'll get some racing in soon, and, you know, the season will get going, and we'll all be having fun.
Well, have fun out there, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
Yeah, right, thanks, Sean.
Peter Britton, the current Australian number one driver for the V8 Dirt Modified Tour, joining us here on This Week in Modified Country. We'll take a break and be back with more right after this.
The world leader in suspension technology, Penske Racing Shocks has been providing custom-built, high-performance shock absorbers to all forms of racing for over 20 years. Offering only the highest quality suspension products, shocks are available in non, single, double, triple, and four-way adjustable configurations. All Penske Racing Shocks are hand-built, tailored to meet a driver's feel or car setup, and dyno-tested, ensuring the highest attention is paid to detail, consistency, and performance. For your short track needs, contact Dave Reedy at Penske Shocks at 610-375-6180. That's 610-375-6180. Penske Racing Shocks are available direct from the manufacturer or through many dealers worldwide. Visit them on the web at www.penskeshocks.com. Penske Racing Shocks, the competitive advantage of champions.
The snow on the track is melting, Charlie. It won't be long now. The NASCAR boys will be back.
You're right, Pete. I can hear the engines now.
Tony Stewart, he wants the second spot. Kurt Busch would like it as well.
Winter's over at New Hampshire Motor Speedway, and it's time to get your race face on. Earnhardt, Johnson, Hamlin, Stewart, and Busch are ready to go the extra mile in the Lennox Industrial Tools 301, July 14th through the 17th.
All for the right to raise the Loudon Lobster.
Let's get this party started. Great weekend racing, camping, entertainment, and fast friends all weekend long at New Hampshire Motor Speedway.
It ain't over till the big gal sings, and she hasn't even begun to warm up the vocal cords yet.
Sunday tickets start at just $39. Go to NHMS.com or call 603-783-4931. It's your Speedway, New England. Now, let's go racing.
Welcome back to This Week in Modified Country, everybody. I'm Sean Wood. A few news and notes as we wrap up our broadcast. And again, special thanks to our guest, Peter Britton, for joining us here on the show. Rain continues to be the main winner throughout the Northeast. Dirt Car Sportsman Opener getting rained out last week. The opener now will be on Saturday at Can-Am Motorsports Park. Brewerton Speedway on Wednesday of this week, already canceling Friday night's action as heavy rains and wet grounds have forced that cancellation. And wet grounds continues to play havoc for the fine folks up at Utica Rome Speedway. Their opener is now set for May 8th. And that is Mother's Day. We thank you for listening to This Week in Modified Country. We'll be back again next Thursday at noon with more interviews, news, and notes from around the world of Northeast-style dirt modified racing. This Week in Modified Country brought to you by Penske Racing Shocks, the competitive advantage of champions, by Kinzer Air Filters, proudly made in the USA, and by the New Hampshire Motor Speedway. The IndyCar Series returns to the Magic Mile August the 14th. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Sean Wood.
This has been a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.